say. Mike and I is going to be sharing with you today the Word of God, so hopefully you're ready for that today. And let's go to the Father God in prayer and let's get this service started out today. Father, we thank you so much for this incredible day that we can come together. Father, to celebrate you. And Lord, as we do honor the men today, Father God, we know that you've got a word to speak to each and every one. Not just a few, but Lord, everyone. So as we minister the Word of God today, Lord God, we just ask that you speak to us. Lord God, Father, that you speak to this congregation today, Lord Jesus. Father God, that you do bring forth a word in season to him that is weary, Lord Jesus. And Father God, I just ask this, that by the time we leave today, that word has produced something, has brought revelation knowledge into every life, and that we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. I want you to look at real quickly some scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11, I'm going to read it to you. We don't have it for you on the screen here this morning. It's just something Mike and I just kind of was talking. I wanted to read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. We've entitled this message today, Act Like a Man. All right, find the guy around you and tell him, act like a man.
Act like a man.
Amen. Now, ladies, don't worry. This is kind of a guy message. But ladies, if you approach this rightly, you're going to receive something because this is for everybody today. Because every one of you ladies knows a guy probably in your life that needs to act like a man.
Oh,
amen.
Yes, amen.
Don't look at your spouse right now, ladies. They may think you're talking about them. Yeah. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says this. Now, I don't have it for you on the screen, so you're going to have to go old school and look in your own Bible, okay? It says, when I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, come on, find a man around you, tell him it's time to act like a man.
It's time to act like a man.
But when I grew up, men look at each other and say, it's time to grow up, man.
It's time to grow up.
But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Amen? And this is probably, as Mike and I have discussed this time we're going to have together today, I think one of the biggest things that we have in our society today is the problem, especially in our Western culture, of men need to act like men.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Mike, why is it important that, what does it mean to act like a man?
Well, we get this from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. And that's something that we as men, we need to realize that that's something that God is calling us to do as the high priest of the home, the leader of our house, is to be watchful. Are you watching? Where are your kids? Where are they doing? What are they not doing? We have to be watchful, kind of the watchdog of our family. Yeah. But men have taken a back seat. They become very passive, and we are not being watchful in our family. Then sometimes because of that, we then take a back seat, and we don't stand firm for our faith. How else are your young men and young women going to see how to stand firm for the faith of God until they see the Father do it first?
Amen.
And you know, I look at my son sometimes, I think, I do not know how he became the man that he is today. Because I don't think I felt like I taught him very much, but he learned a lot from just osmosis of me being at the church, worshiping God.
Thank God
and
for
acting
grace.
Acting like a man. Oh, thank
God
for grace.
Thank God for God's grace.
Amen. Amen. So we were supposed to act like men. He goes on and it says to stand firm in your faith, act like men, be strong. Everybody say be strong.
Be strong.
It says let all that you do be done in love.
Yeah.
And that's something as men, we can get all and we can start plowing our way through our family. And so you're just going to have to suck it up. You just got to listen to me and obey me. But yet then at the end of that verse, he says that we as men should do all things in love.
Amen.
To guard, protect, be watchful, stand firm, and to guide our family with love.
You got to be a man. Got to be a real man.
Amen.
Amen. So act like a man. What does that mean to act like a man?
Well, for one thing, it makes it really easy. Don't act like a woman. So, I mean, you know, you could point to your buddy and say, stop acting like a woman.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I mean, I need to hear some of that. You know, I need somebody to come alongside to me and every once in a while, because I will, if I'm not careful, start acting like a woman. I'm not supposed to do that. God didn't create me that way. He created me to lead.
Created you to lead. Because really, you know, you think about that. We joke with that, don't act like a woman. But, you know, in other words, we're telling a man, don't follow.
Exactly.
You lead. Lead. The word says that we're to be leaders in our household.
Yep. Yep.
So we're to lead. Amen. And not don't act like a woman means don't be the weaker vessel.
Correct.
Amen. Because the word does say that we're to stand up in our households and be a man, that we're a high priest of our homes, to be that stronger vessel, not the weaker vessel.
Amen.
Amen.
And lose the drama.
Lose the drama.
And lose the drama.
Oh, there's no guys out there that have drama going on, are they?
So you didn't get your bass boat. And you cried like a baby for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So she told you you couldn't buy a fishing pole.
Yeah.
No, there's no drama in your house.
Amen.
Yeah, I still remember when I had Tamara come to me. She says, we need to buy an iron. I mean, this is way back in the day, four kids. And I was like, well, we don't have any money. And she goes, well, you have to take your birthday money and go buy an iron.
Yeah.
And I was mad. There was drama in the house. I was like, I got to spend my money, my birthday money, on an iron. Yeah. So you could iron my shirt so I could wear it.
Yeah.
No drama
no
in
drama.
The house.
Amen.
Yeah, there's drama.
So, guys, we got to lead. Got to lead. Got to be the stronger vessel, not the weaker vessel. And lose the drama, man.
Lose the drama.
In other words, we got to be people that are stable. And not only don't act like a woman, but don't go the other way and don't act like an animal.
Don't act like an animal.
Come on, there's some guys. We're pretty good with the animal parts.
Yeah, sometimes, listen, just because you get upset and maybe you have permission to act that way at work. Maybe you have permission to chew somebody out. But listen, that's not love. That God didn't put us in our families to say things to our kids that hurt them, to do things to our kids that hurt them, or even our wives. We're to do all things in love. And when you do make a mistake, be the first to repent.
Amen.
Man, I think of that's time good. And time again where I've made a mistake with my kids. And I get that look from the wife, you know, and I'm like, and she's like, where did that come from? I still remember telling Brianna, well, you're not even good at soccer, you know. I mean, just like, and I had a drama moment.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't leading, and I got mad. I was angry. I just turned around and looked. I said, you're not even good at soccer, you know. And I look back, and Tamara's looking at me like, really?
Next time that happens, Tamara's going to say, lose the drama, Mike.
Yeah, I did apologize. I did apologize, and it broke my heart. But you know what?
Yeah.
It was the very next day, I think, or within that week, and she was in nursery, and she told the lead adult in that, well, I got to find something else to do because my daddy told me I'm not good at this.
Yeah, that's sad.
Listen, that's what God didn't. That's not our purpose, man. Yeah. It still breaks my heart when I think of that. But as a man, I could speak grace to that area.
Amen.
Now. Grace in that area. God, heal that area.
Yeah. So really, you know, the content of our message about acting like a man is we really believe that it's time that boys become men.
Amen.
And one of the, I think, the struggles that many men have in our culture today is we got 40-year-old men that are still acting like boys.
Kid adults is what they
call
them.
Yeah, we got 50-year-olds that are still acting like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Because they're not making that progress and maturing to that place where the boy is growing and transforming into that man that God has called them to be. And, you know, one thing that we talk many times here at World Harvest Church, our desire is that the men of World Harvest Church, that they're godly men.
Amen.
That they're passionate men. That they're loving God. They're loving people. That they're serving in the world.
Amen.
And that we don't have a house full of mature in age men, they're still acting like adolescents.
Amen.
It's time
Amen.
To grow up and to be a man.
Amen. Leading.
Leading.
Leading their families.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the world, they classify what a man is by the three B's.
Yeah.
They look and say, well, how big's your billfold? What kind of money are you making? They look to say, well, how good are you on the ball field? In other words, how good is your performance?
Yeah.
How do you do at work? It's just that
performance mentality.
And then it goes even and say, well, how good are you in the bedroom?
Yeah.
And see, listen, God the Father doesn't judge us that way.
Yeah.
And we got to get out of what the world calls a man and how they identify it, and we've got to move forward in leading the family as God has called us to
Amen.
Lead.
Amen. And God has a call for men to be men.
He does.
To move up, to grow up, and to step up. We've been in an incredible last 10 weeks with a lot of the Mighty Men doing the Stepping Up series. It's in that series that there was a pastor, Pastor Crawford, who just gives a credible just an excerpt, just a little segment of the need for men to grow up and to be real men of God. I want to throw to that real quickly, Pastor Mike. If you turn your eyes to the screens, let's hear what Pastor Crawford says about this.
50-year-old adolescents, it's a pretty obvious but sad answer. It's been the breakdown of the family over the last 35, 40 years. With the rise of the divorce rate and the increased feminization of men, what we're finding is a reticence of men to step up and to step out. You see, manhood is imprinted. A woman every 28 days is powerfully, graphically reminded of who she is. A man only knows he's a man when his father or significant male role model tells him so. When you remove the visual role model, you remove the composite picture of what a man should be, you're left with a legacy of confusion and of complexity and of uncertainty, and that is indeed what we have today. It's the households. That's where the problem is. You know, we got problems with leaders out there in the public square because we have problems in the homes.
Yeah, man, that's good. Yeah. Boy, he said that good. A lot better than you and I could have done it.
That's why we had him do it. So we'll have to send him a check.
But how true that is, because that's a real problem in our culture today. And, you know, you and I have had a lot of discussions on this. I think part of the problem that our Western culture has, there's no definitive moment in a young man's life where he is now identified as a man. It's a very gray area.
And that's something that the Jewish people had a great concept of, and they had a great handle on it, and it was this rite of passage. And we hear about a bar mitzvah where a young man turns 13, and that meant the son of the law, and then he was able to read from the book of the law for the very first time. But then from that point on, then the mother and the father begin to treat this child, this young man, as an adult. Did he make adult decisions? No. But they begin to treat him that way, and because they begin to treat him that way, then he rose to the level of manhood. Yeah. And because they begin to begin to discipline him that way and begin to call him up, and that's what we've lost in our society is this rite of passage. And, you know, God, he puts two bookends that are very visible in the Scripture, and one of them is at 13 where we have the bar mitzvah. I would like to call him a bar ha, which means we are sons of grace. No longer law, amen?
Yeah.
And that we then begin to move our young men into adulthood, and at age 20 is the last bookend where God says, listen, you know, even in the children of the Israelites, everybody that's 20 and older, you're going to die in the desert, amen? And so we got to see that, listen, as a father with your daughters and your sons, you've got 7 years to mold them into manhood or womanhood, to teach them how to make decisions, to teach them hear the voice of God, to teach them to be obedient, to teach them to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit.
Yeah. So we have this problem in our culture that it's really hard for man to know, you know, especially, you know, those teenage years to their 20 years, there's this whole struggle that they're having. And if they don't have a man or a godly man at church or a strong father figure in their home that's really reaffirming them in what's going on in their life, then there is this ambiguous goal that seems to be moving. When am I doing what I'm supposed to? Am I still an adolescent? What's my purpose? You know, there's this whole struggle. And so we've got really a 4-point definition here today for us to really to look at and determine if we're really a real man. So guys, every one of you guys, I want you to listen really closely to these 4 points we're going to give you today about real manhood. And every one of you ladies, I want you to really listen to this today, because your moms, grandmas, listen, you've got men around you, boys around you that need to be affirmed and to be reaffirmed. And I really believe this, guys, especially us, dads, listen to me. We're great at pointing out what's wrong, what they're doing wrong. We're very poorly at reaffirming what is right. We need to switch that.
Amen.
We need to switch that, where we are affirming the men in our life. Because, you know, we've all made mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. And we always hold the mistakes over many times. But let's look at this. Four-point definition of real manhood and real. R-E-A-L. We're going to give the 4 points. It's going to be an acrostic for real. So let's look at point number one. Number one is this. R stands for this. Reject passivity. Come on, say, I'm going to reject passivity.
I'm going to reject passivity.
Amen. And Scripture here, Psalms chapter 78, verse 72, in the ESV version says this. With an upright heart, he shepherded them, and he guided them with his skillful hand. Now, Pastor Mike, do you think that passivity in the men today is a big problem?
It's a big problem. I mean, you look at the fact that it's kind of like, try taking a trip between here and Dallas and then put all your family in there and your wife in the passenger seat, and then you decide to take a nap between then and there. Fall asleep at the wheel.
While you're still driving.
And find out how far you get.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is what has happened is men have, they're still in the passenger, the driver's seat. They want to be in the passenger seat because, you know what, I don't have to make any decisions. I don't have to work at this. I've been working 120 hours this week. And, you know, church, the Sunday, that's my only day off. And that's the reason why we don't take our family to church. We become very passive. Yeah. We become disengaged. And then it causes the woman then to have to lead from the passenger seat and try to drive the vehicle so that you don't crash and kill your family.
Yeah, passivity, I think, you know, I've talked about it. It's probably one of the biggest breakdowns in the families today because men are being programmed because of the human nature of just sitting back and letting the woman lead. Sitting back, don't getting too, you know, worked up about anything. And it's that process, and it really comes because we even look at the original sin in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, you know, whenever Satan came to tempt Eve. You know, many times we dog on Eve a lot, but you know, it says, the scriptures plainly says there that Adam was right there with her.
Amen.
You know, but Adam, yet that passive spirit began to fall upon him even in the garden, and instead of rejecting the passivity, he fell into the passivity, and he's like, you know what, he should have stepped up and said, no, God's word says we don't do
Amen.
That.
Amen.
You know, we
Amen.
Cannot do that. In other Amen. Words, there's got to be men that are rising up in our culture today and saying, you know what? I don't care what society says is right. This is what God's word says is
Amen.
Right. We've got to have men that are rejecting Yeah. passivity.
And Jesus is our great example of men as what a true man was. You know, Adam, he was in a perfect place,
Yeah.
in a perfect garden, and was serving God, and he allowed passivity to come into the garden. He looked and said, you know what, I'm just going to sit back. But yet Jesus, he said, no, I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to do something, and he came and saved us.
Amen.
You know, we got to kill the Sasquatch syndrome.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The Bigfoot syndrome. That's what I call it. A lot of footprints, but never seen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I get sucked into those stupid shows. We're going to find Sasquatch. And I'm watching. And I, you know, somewhere about 2 hours into like three of these videos, I'm thinking, wait a minute. They never find Sasquatch, but they always find his footprint.
Yeah.
The church is looking for men. They see footprints, but they don't see men.
Let's see them. Let's
find
those.
We need to kill that and say that didn't happen here at Wolf's
Amen,
Harvest Church.
That's right.
We not only see the men, but we see their footprint in their life,
Amen.
In their family.
Isn't that good? Let's move on to number two. R stands for reject passivity. Come on, say, I'm rejecting passivity.
I'm rejecting passivity.
Let's look at number two. Expects God's greater reward. I don't like this because the greater reward. We talked about Adam. He partook of the fruit there. He failed to realize that his pursuit of immediate gratification cost him something in the future. You know, there is a greater reward out there.
There he is. That says something that Jesus, he looked at all of heaven. Here, Adam was in the garden, had all of heaven there in the garden, and he looked at a tree and said, you know what, there might be something that's better for me.
Yeah.
Something that God doesn't, that, you know, I'm gonna take that. But yet Jesus in heaven said, I got all of heaven, but that there's something, there's a greater reward, and he
Amen.
Stepped out of heaven and stepped here on this earth and set us free from sin.
Isn't that good?
You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, we do this keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, oh, I love this, who initiated.
Yeah.
Listen, that's something that we need to be seeing, how Jesus and how we need to, as fathers, to initiate and then begin to perfect the faith of what we see as following Jesus
yeah.
Christ in our kids' lives. And that's what Jesus did for us because of the joy awaiting for him.
He
you know what?
It is
no fun watching kids. It's no fun trying to raise adolescents. It's no fun. But when you look at them as adults, you do those hard things for the joy set before you because
yeah.
you're looking at grandkids.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? I need some grandkids.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen tonight, right? You know, I mean, anyway. But, I mean, that's no hint
at least,
over
at least
there.
The conception
but,
of it over
but
there.
But, I mean,
anyway.
Just, yeah. But, listen, when we begin to look at the great awards, you know what? It takes time to change a
Amen.
Diaper. It takes time to lead a young man. It takes time to lead a young woman. It takes
yeah.
time. And so we have
That's
to
right.
look at God's greater reward through raising children, raising a family, seeing our wives begin to be productive and see them producing yeah. what God created them for.
Amen. What's that quote
it takes time.
In the Stepping Up series? That it's we're sending our children into a future that we will never help me out. Do you remember that?
As men, we are generational. We have generational 2020 vision. It is our purpose to send our children into the future to accomplish things that we couldn't hear.
Yeah, that's good.
In other words, it's and then we begin to see that. I see my son and my daughter, I see them as tools of God being used to reach a generation that I may never see.
That's good.
And when we get an understanding of that,
yeah,
then we begin to say, you know what? I'm going to take the time to love on my son.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my time,
yeah,
to teach my daughter how to be respectful and how to understand authority.
So really, bottom line, this point is looking to the long-term reward versus immediate
exactly
satisfaction. Yeah. God, yeah. We found this. Yeah. In fact, we've got a great video that just gives a little example of that. Look at this real quick. Watch the screen.
I can't on the 17th. I have to be in Miami. I can't. This is a $27 million deal. I'll make it up to him. Take him to that pizza place with the video games. Yeah, he likes that place. Probably about midnight. I've got about 3 more hours left working on this project for tomorrow. I love you. Bye-bye. I guess your wife understands that you have to work late.
Well, there are a lot of times I get home before she does.
Really? She works nights too?
Night shift in the ICU.
A nurse?
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to vacuum in here?
No, you can skip it.
You know, that's the fourth time you've told me to skip it.
I know. Day after tomorrow, I'll be gone. You can do it then.
Good looking boys.
It's their mother's jeans.
My wife and I always wanted sons or daughters. Didn't matter which. Would you take $1 million for your boys?
There are some days, I tell you, $1.75, you can have all three. I'll even throw in the wife. No extra charge.
I'm serious.
What are you talking about?
My wife's father died 6 months ago. Unexpectedly. But what was more unexpected was he had managed to squirrel away almost $4 million. And since my wife, being an only child, well, he left it all to us. We've been trying to figure out what to do with it. Quit our jobs. Buy a bigger house than we need. Travel. We always wanted kids. This is a serious offer. Would you take $1 million for your three boys?
No. My boys aren't for sale.
Are you sure? Oh, well, I guess I'll get out of here and let you get back to work. I suppose I will be seeing you tomorrow night, huh?
What a very powerful video. Because we all know where that was going, right there. He was actually selling his kids out for his job. But a man, a real man, he expects a greater reward than immediate satisfaction. A stands for accepts responsibility. Come on, guys, let me hear you say, I accept responsibility.
I accept responsibility.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 in the New Living Translation says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by me by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy. Say trustworthy. Teach these things to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. That word, they're trustworthy, defined means deserving of trust, means reliable. And I've heard it said about responsibility before. Responsibility is a person's ability to respond to what they have in their hands. And this is a big thing because in our culture today, one of the signs that you're growing up to be a man and a real man is when you start accepting responsibility. And that's one thing that as a young person needs to understand. Listen, that's why we as parents give you tasks to do. Clean your car, you know, clean your room, do this, do that. When you start taking responsibility, that's a sign that you're stepping up into true manhood.
Amen. I fail miserably. When I fail big time. And Jonathan, he was probably a couple of years old. And I don't know. Was he? He was 4 years old. She knows. She likes this story. She'll be laughing her head, fall out of the chair when I tell this story. But she was going to a women's conference in Dallas, and I had this gun store down here on Grand. And she came in, and she looked at me and started talking to me, and I was like, And you know how it is, ladies, when you want to communicate to them. You like, she grabbed me by my ears and pulled me up close. Look at me while I'm speaking to you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, you got my attention. She said, I am going to Dallas, and I'm leaving Jonathan at my sister's. Do you understand that? Yes. Okay. And so I worked late that night and closed the gun store down and dragged home and fixed me some dinner. And I was sitting there watching, you know, TV. And then it was a couple of minutes. And I was like, wait a minute. It's like almost 10 o'clock. Where is my wife and my son? And so I let it go. I watched another TV show, probably munching on popcorn. And so probably somewhere around 11:30, then all of a sudden I was like, this is just crazy. Where in the world are they? And then it dawned on me, Tamara's in Dallas. Ah! I left my son at the gun store. And so I thought that I had left him at the gun store. So I drive as fast as I can from Cedar Ridge, clear down to Grand, you know. I'm running into the building, Jonathan, Jonathan. And I can just see him at the, you know, at the front window on those little hands on the bars. Ah! Ah! You know, crying, you know. And I get in there, and he's not there. And you want to talk about just another serious, I was like.
That's some anxiety.
I was like, oh, my gosh. And I went home. I didn't know what to do. I was like, somewhere around 2:30, I remembered that Tamara said that she took him to her sister's. But you know what? I failed miserably. Yeah. You know, I was not accepting responsibility. Yeah. I look at him sometimes. I say, you know, it's a miracle. I didn't leave you in the car seat on the hood of the car and drive off somewhere.
And
it's amazing that he survived. But it's all because of grace.
Amen.
You may have made mistakes like that, but you just got to look at it and say grace.
Grace, grace, grace. Amen. Come on, accept responsibility. Come on, man, say I'm responsible.
I'm responsible.
Amen. We got to wrap this up. We're running out of time. So the fourth point is L stands for leads courageously. Leads courageously. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, be strong and say it with me, what? Very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Let me tell you guys, you got to have courage to make the right decisions today in our culture. You got to have courage to stand up and to reject passivity. You got to have courage to look to the eternal reward, not short-term satisfaction. You got to take courage to be responsible, because it's very easy just to neglect things and to shove them under the carpet. I'll take care of that later. But it takes courage to be a man of God today. Amen. Come on, man, let me hear you say, I am courageous.
I am courageous.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I got one more story I got to tell you. And this is, I was even reminded of it this morning. And I used to dip tobacco, and I did it for several years. And he was just a little fella, maybe five, I don't know. And I did two things wrong, because Tamara said, don't ever leave him in the vehicle when you get out to go into the quick shop. You got to turn the car off. Get him out. I'm like, man, that is just a lot of work,
like,
you know.
Work,
and then go inside with him. I was like, man, I'm just going in there for a little bit. I'm going to get a Dr. Pepper. Why? Because My old Dr. Pepper bottle, if you chew tobacco, you spit into your old bottle and you fill it up, and it kind of gets to a point after about a week that it starts to grow hair and stink and gets nasty, about close to the top, you know. And so you need to go get another Dr. Pepper and put a cap on that one and throw it away. And so that was what I was doing, and I left him in the truck, and I did pull, no, I don't think I pulled the keys, but anyway, I did turn it off, I think, which already one mistake. And so when I come back out, I see him standing behind the steering wheel. And he's like, he's standing up, you know, and he's all excited. And I go, how cool is that? And so I open up the door, and he turns to me, and he had that spit bottle, and he had drank about half of it. It was running down his shirt, and he was all smiling at me, and he had tobacco on his teeth, and I was like, I just laid hands on him. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to get sick. Your mother will kill me if you get sick. Oh, and I started praying in spirit. I was like, woo. And you know what? He never got sick.
Praise
he never
God.
Did.
He never Thank God did. For grace. And, grace, yeah, grace.
And Tamara never killed me. And so, but I looked at that and I thought, you know what? As men, we see things that we do that cause harm to our kids. And God's called us to lead courageously.
Yeah.
He's called us to, when the Spirit comes into your life and convicts you of something that you're doing.
Yeah. It's good.
You need to stop.
Amen.
You need to lead with courageous leadership into your family.
Doing the right thing, even though we're fearful. Maybe
I quit tobacco that day.
Well, praise God. Thank God.
I don't recommend you using that as a way to you to quit tobacco.
Amen. Well, thank God. You know, as we wrap up, Mike, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, if you got your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me here. It's one of these messages we just got to disconnect. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says this. It says, according to the grace of God, and you know, this is what we've been talking about. It takes God's grace to be a man of God today. It takes God's grace to reject passivity. It takes God's grace. Amen?
Yes, amen.
According to the grace of God given to me, it says, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. And if someone else is building upon it, let each one take care of how he builds upon it. In other words, listen, we are all building something. You're building a home. You're building a life. You're building a future, whatever that may look like. And I love this because it does take God's grace. And again, man, I want you to understand, Mike and I just giving you four quick points how to know that you're a true man. Are you rejecting passivity? Are you looking to that eternal reward? Are you accepting responsibility? Are you leading courageously? I mean, let me tell you, you can't do it on your own power. It takes God's grace. But we're building something. And let me tell you, I believe that the marriages of World Harvest Church ought to be the best marriages in the city. I believe the homes of World Harvest Church should be the strongest homes, should be models, should be salt and light to our community. Amen. It goes on in verse 11, it says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're building the foundation of Jesus Christ into our homes, our children, into our families. Amen. And because of that, we're going to see God do great things in our lives.
Amen. Amen. As a father, I saw three things, three altars that I needed to get my children to. I saw that it was my responsibility to get them to the altar of redemption, to the altar of salvation, for them to then realize that they needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's as fathers, we are to lead them there.
Yeah.
That we're to be leading them to a relationship with God the Father courageously.
Yeah.
I saw the other thing that society has removed this from us as leaders, but it is men, it is your responsibility to get your children to the marriage altar pure.
Yeah.
That means you don't just let you wouldn't give the keys to your truck to a 16-year-old boy that you didn't know to just leave with your truck for 3 hours. Why are you giving your 16-year-old daughters to a young man you don't even know to go somewhere you don't even know where they're going?
Yeah, that's good.
You have a responsibility to get your young men and your young women to the marriage altar pure.
Yeah.
And I've been able to do that. I'm looking forward to even doing that with my daughter. That's impossible in this society.
Yeah.
It's the profession of your faith.
Amen.
It is 100% doable, and I will do it in my family, and
Amen.
I will lead them to this area.
Yes.
You've got to start speaking to yourself.
Amen.
And the third and final thing is I want them to get to the altar of purpose. I want them to find, follow, and fulfill the purpose that God has on their life. Men, you can lead your family well in the grace of God if you at least know that these are three things you need to accomplish by leading your family.
It's good. It's time we as men step up.
Amen.
Amen. That we act like men. Come on, say, I'm going to act like a man.
I'm going to act like a man.
Amen. I want to close with this little short video. Those of you that's been with us through the Stepping Up series, the 10-week series, just an incredible series. But I believe that it's important that we men not be just boys, but we be the man of God that God has called us to. Amen. Let's watch this.
The Bible describes life as a race. Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We all start the race, but it's common for many of us to grow weary and to lose heart along the way. It takes a courageous man to press on, to keep on stepping up, and to finish strong. You and I are in that race together, and others are watching us. They're watching to see which direction we're running in, and they're also paying attention to our pace. So run your race to win. And regardless of where you find yourself on the steps of manhood, press on. Do your duty. Never, never quit stepping up.
With God's help,
with God's help,
with God's help,
I will
face my fears.
I will be strong.
I will be courageous.
I will not
step back
into adolescence.
I will step up.
Step up.
I will step up to manhood.
I will embrace the assignment God has given me.
I will stand firm.
I will stand firm
for the things I believe.
For the things I believe.
I will
take initiative.
I will engage others with grace and wisdom.
I will not be harsh.
I will not be harsh or angry.
Or angry.
I will be a provider.
I will love my wife.
I will love my wife well.
I will serve others.
I will.
Amen. What a great declaration. Amen. Listen, I want every male in the room here today, every male, I want you to stand to your feet as we close out our service. I want to pray over you. Every male, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come together here at the end of this great service today. Father, as we've celebrated the men today, Lord God. Father God, I thank you for word in season. And Lord, don't let these just be words that just go in one ear and just quickly forgotten. But Lord, help us to be real men here at World Harvest Church, Lord God. So Father God, men, Lord Jesus, that are rejecting passivity, Lord. Men that are expecting the greater reward. Lord, men, Lord God, that are accepting responsibility. Men that are leading courageously, Lord God. Father God, I pray over each one of these men that are standing today. Lord, we mark them for your kingdom, Lord God, and we declare that the enemy cannot have them in the name of Jesus. He will not destroy them. He will not steal from them. But Lord God, I thank you for these men are rising up and being the man of God that you have called them to be in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just speak over them grace. Father, I speak grace over them in the mighty name of Jesus. Just as Aaron's staff was brought before the Ark of the Covenant, and because of its setting there, it produced, it branched, it bloomed, and it produced ripe almonds. That was the grace of God on the leadership of Aaron. Father, I speak grace on the leadership of the men in this
area, in this
church. Father, that
Lord,
they begin to realize that their leadership is before the throne room of God, and that it will produce fruit in their life and in their family's life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And Father, I want to speak this forth. Lord, for those men that are here today, Lord, they've made mistakes. Lord, they've done some things that they didn't do it right. Father God, I thank you for your grace today. your grace. Father, for those fathers that are here today that they wish they could turn the years back, go back and do it again, Father, we speak grace. Father, your grace covers over those mistakes. Those husbands that are here that made the mistakes in their marriage, Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, today's a new day. Father, our future is bright, stands before us. So, Lord, we will not let the past prophesy our future. Keep us held back in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.